And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom, and I thank you for joining me today. Hey, if you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. We're going to get to one of your favorite topics. We're talking about property tax protests. Today is part two. We talked last week about why you should even consider doing this. This is more of a Texas-specific show, by the way. You may protest your taxes in other states as well. But in Texas, we have very high tax rates. It's very important that you do this. And we talked about that very fact, why you should do this. We talked about the general process, and we talked about the timeline. If you did miss that show on the radio, on air, you can always find the podcast if you go to our website, click on the podcast tab, or go to any of the podcast apps out there. So today's show, again, we'll be there for you later on if you need to go back and listen. We're going to get a little bit heavier into some of the concepts around tax protest. Greater detail in that, really, how you can build your case with the county appraisal district, how you can get that tax valuation lowered. So again, if you have questions, send those my way, askandy@luinc.com. And just a quick reminder, I mentioned this many times last week because it's extremely important. Your deadline to file your intent to protest is May 15th, or 30 days after they sent it to you, so it may be sometime after that, but typically May 15th, assume it's May 15th, get that protest intent sent in on or before the 15th. And another reminder, remember that that value that they put on that appraisal, or that notice of appraised value, is the value as of January 1st of this year. Right here we are in April, May. You may be catching the podcast June, July, August, September. I don't know. But that value was set as of January 1. And I'll tell you, when I file my protest, I typically do that online these days. I don't always have my evidence ready. I don't know exactly what I'm going to argue against, or what I'm going to bring, you know, in terms of firepower. So you don't necessarily have to have all of your evidence together at the time you file. I typically do not. So don't panic, because it's between whatever, you know, today and the 15th to get that figured out. However, as we just said, they set their value as per January 1. They've got their evidence together. That's how they figured out that number. So be sure to ask for theirs. And typically when you file online, there's a place where you can check a box or whatever to request that evidence. You need to see what they have. Okay. Another reminder, by the way, and this is just a real upper level look at the process, because the way I approach it, you can do it differently. I take three at bats, right? I'm going to take a swing at least three different times. Here's how I would do it. I would file online before May 15th. I would request their evidence. While I'm online, here's my first at bat. Typically, a lot of the counties will give you an opportunity to enter your target value, what you think that value should be. For example, Tarrant County will actually do an automated online protest at that time. Up front, you'll know the results immediately. And I've gotten some really big wins just at that stage. Enough so that I said, done. Check the box on this property, move on to the next one. Dallas County, for example, they'll let you put your value in, but somebody looks at that in the background, so you may not actually hear the results for a couple of weeks. But that's your first at-bat, that kind of automated, early, upfront swing. Most cases, for me, it does not return a value that I'll accept. But I have had some good wins, so it's worth a try. Second at-bat, you go and do what's called the informal hearing. We talked about this last week. You can either go down to the county appraisal district and do that in person, or you can do it remotely. I've done it on the phone for Dallas County for years now, for example. And if that doesn't work at your second at bat, well, then you go down to the appraisal review board. And what happens when you send in your intent to protest? They're going to pick a date for you, a time and a date, when you will have that ARB, or appraisal review board, hearing. Okay, this is kind of the more formal process if we didn't get what we wanted during the informal process. And just a sidebar, I didn't mention this last week. What does that ARB hearing look like? Well, in essence, you show up, let's say you go down in person, and one of the county appraisers will be there to argue their side of the you know, the valuation in front of the appraisal review board, the panel. And the panel itself is usually three volunteers. These are people that are volunteering their time to be an impartial jury as it relates to that valuation. Three volunteers. Now, you can elect to do what's called a one-member panel. I've done this sometimes, and I find it's a little bit easier. It's just me talking to that one guy, ignoring the appraiser that's glaring at me there in the corner. I've had a lot of success that way. But anyhow, these are volunteers, and they are supposed to be objective. And I'll tell you, early on when I did this the very first year, on my very first couple of rental houses, I was nervous. You know, you think board, right? A panel. It sounds very formal, and it is. It's fairly formal. But they were nice. They helped me. They prompted me in a few cases. They could tell I was nervous, right? So don't. I'm telling you now. Don't be nervous. Don't be afraid if you do go down and do that appraisal review board hearing in person. And usually after the ARB, that's your third at bat. That is typically for most people the end of the process. However, there are a few other things, a few other steps, a few other swings you can take, other options if you do want to pursue that protest further. If you don't get what you want, you can go and listen to that show if you want to hear more there. So a couple of important reminders. One last reminder, I have to tell you, our Wealth and Passive Income Expo is coming up, less than a week now, right? It's going to be May 7th through the 10th in Irving, Texas, right between Dallas and Fort Worth at the Irving Convention Center in Las Colinas. And I have good news for you. For today's listener, I've been given a new promo code, and you can use this to get free general access to the expo. If you'll text the keyword INVEST, INVEST, INVEST to 88007, INVEST, INVEST, INVEST to 88007, that will give you a free entry to our Wealth and Passive Income Expo, which is now less than a week away. That's going to be May 7th to the 10th in Irving, Texas, Las Colinas at the Irving Convention Center. Great place to go and learn everything you need to learn about investing in single family houses, investing in apartments. A lot of the passes have sold out, by the way, so this is a good way to get in, at least for the general entry. And come and talk. Come say hi at the radio booth. We can talk property tax protest in greater detail or whatever's on your mind. But let's get on to what's on my mind, because I want to give you some greater detail on how you now build your story. And before we get to the nitty-gritty there, I think it's helpful to answer the question of what determines value, right? So you've got a notice of appraised value from the county. And the counties, the county appraisal districts here in Texas, they look at two types of value in determining yours. And these are the two areas where I would tell you to focus your protest. Plan to protest both of these. Even if as you do your digging later, you say, well, I don't really have an argument here. Fine. When you submit your protest, plan to protest both. If I flip over this one here, it says I've got, this is Dallas. I can protest based on market value. I can protest based on unequal value. And market value is simply where the appraisal district has gone out and looked at the sold comps, what has sold in the MLS, right? What houses have sold in your area in the year up to January 1, right? They're using those sales, or you may call those sold comps. For the other one, equal value, I've always called these equity comps. They're going out to their very own tax rolls to see how they valued other properties around you. Seems kind of circular, doesn't it? But yeah, that's one of the ways they determine value. We put the value for those four houses that look like yours at $100,000. Therefore, yours must be $100,000 as well. And to that point, these two approaches can actually drive very different values. I've got a couple pulled up from a year or two ago on one of my properties in Tarrant County. The equity approach yielded a value of $192,000. The sales approach yielded a value of $250,000. Fortunately, they went with the lower one. And fortunately, I went and protested and got it down another couple, $20,000 or so below that. But you can see there can be a discrepancy there, which is why you also need to see their evidence. So when you file on both market value and equal value. And you may, if you're doing what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, you may actually want to file on a third option. And here it's the second one on this particular form. It's called Circuit Breaker Limitation on Appraised Value, and there's some more text behind it. We're going to get to that option a little later in the show. this goes back to some of the legislation that was passed a couple of years ago that limits the increase on non-homestead properties. So you may want to file on that if you've been doing what we talk about on this very show and what we learn to do as investors and members at Lifestyles Unlimited. But let's, you know, if you think about market value, what is it really? It's ultimately what somebody is willing to pay for that house. That is market value. That drives a very easy, very low-hanging fruit for you that follows the Lifestyles model. We'll get to that in a second, but more broadly, let's look at how market value is determined. And typically, you know, when you buy a house, here I've got an appraisal from a house we bought. This is way back in 2012. So if I throw out any numbers, those probably don't apply anymore. But I looked at the appraisal, and it's got a lot of rows, and it shows different characteristics of the house. And the appraiser does exactly what the county appraisal district has done. He's gone and looked at sales comparables that sold in the recent past in determining the value of my property. And he stays within a certain range, 6 months typically, stays within a certain geographical radius, right? Typically not more than a mile or so, if possible, doesn't cross major freeways, other big geographical boundaries. But what's interesting, as I look through this, I can see my house here on the left side, and then I see comparable sale number one, number two, number three. Those are the three he uses to set the value. There are even more comps that I can look at. But what I see here, for example, is adjustments made for gross living space. When they're looking at the values, they're starting with sales price, and then they're making adjustments. Well, your house is contracted to sell for this price. This house down the road sold for this price, but it was smaller or it was bigger, right? They're going to go in and adjust for square footage. In fact, this one's very easy, and it should be readily visible on the county evidence. However, you do want to check two things. Do they have your square footage correct? They make mistakes on this all the time. If they've got it to the high side, you probably want to correct that if you want to get your value lowered. If they've got it on the low side, don't say anything, you know. So, well, again, here we're talking about sales comps specifically. We'll get to the equity comps later. But they're looking at square footage. What's the differential there? And you do want to ask the question, are they using an appropriate factor? In other words, what does each single square foot differential between my property and that property, what does that equate to in dollar terms? And going back to my 2020 appraisal, I just did the math, and every square foot up or down affected the value by $25. Doesn't sound like a lot, but here I've got a property that's about 2,000 square foot smaller. So when he looked at the sales price of that house, he adjusted it upward by about 5,000, right? Is $25 per square foot the correct differential, the correct factor in today's market? Probably not. The way we've seen values go up, that's much, much larger. That's probably doubled or more. So you need to figure out, are they using a good factor? And then what are they looking at in terms of things like property condition, functional obsolescence? Is it a good layout or a bad layout? Does it back to traffic or commercial, that sort of thing? So looking at my appraisal, this particular property backs to a 6-lane road. The sales comps that he could find did not. So he had to make some kind of an adjustment to reduce my value in his appraisal. Did the county do that? That's the question you need to figure out. Mine had a 2-car garage, whereas this is an older neighborhood. Most had one or none. He adjusted more favorably, adjusted higher on mine. Well, what does yours look like compared to the sales comps and the equity comps that the county pulled in your case? That's what you need to dial down. And they can get pretty granular. Mine has a fireplace. Comps did not. He adjusted the value up, this appraisal. Interesting one, by the way. This was not used as a comp in his numbers, but if I flip back to comp number 4, condition. Well, I'm going to go in and fix this up, right? That's part of our plan is we've got a scope of work. The appraiser knows we're going to go in and put in granite countertops. We're going to put in new flooring. We're going to paint it. We're going to fix the foundation. We're going to do all these things. So I've got the highest condition possible. One of the comps he looked at was lower, and that accounted for a very large adjustment in that potential value. And this is where you really get into your arguments with the appraisal district. Did they take property condition into account? Do they even know what that looks like? Did they take that fact, the fact that you backed to that road or that highway or that commercial, the apartments, whatever, did they take that into account? Did they use sales that are comparable and that they also back to that sort of less desirable location? Did they use a townhome when yours is actually a duplex? Yeah, that can be an issue as well. So you want to look at their evidence and then start to pick it apart to determine, oh, were they being fair, ultimately? Hey, quick break, and then I want to tell you about that low-hanging fruit when we get back.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, send those my way. Send those to askandy@luinc.com. And again, a reminder, if you're interested in coming out to the expo and have not gotten your general entry tickets yet, you can text the keyword INVEST to 88007, and you'll get those for free. So good news there. Now we're on part two of a show talking about property tax protest. And again, you file your protest, you get the county's evidence, and really now it's up to you. You've got to determine why you're not really looking at apples and apples. You've got your apple over here, and they've grabbed an orange and a pomegranate and an onion of all things. So you've got to really break apart and tear apart really their evidence. For you that follow the Lifestyles Unlimited model, when you go out and buy a house, you've got, in your first year, you've got actually really a home run, right? If you're following our model. Remember, market value ultimately is what somebody's willing to pay for it. And if you're doing what we do, we go out and find distressed properties. I looked at a house, in fact, last week where the purchase price was $85,500. When it's fixed up, because we have to go in and do some repairs, it's got a lot of deferred maintenance, market value should be about $220,000, I believe the number was. So you can see there's a really big spread there. I don't know what that house was on the tax rolls at, probably $180,000, maybe $200,000, something like that. They don't usually exactly match with market value, but we bought it for $85,500. This is low-hanging fruit. Again, we're buying this at a discount because it probably needs foundation work, maybe a new roof, electrical work, maybe a new panel, all cosmetic stuff. So the seller is willing to unload that at a discount. And all you have to do to get this low-hanging fruit is present your closing statement, your HUD, that shows what you paid for it. And that county should absolutely match that $85,500. So if you're on the tax rolls for $180,000, and you get it down to $80,000 or whatever, $85,000, it's about a $100,000 drop, and you save about $250 per $10,000 reduction. You can see that's a really large drop in tax valuation and in resulting taxes. It's as simple as presenting your HUD. Now, if this is a property that you bought as an assignment of contract, this is a pro tip here for you. Don't tell them what you paid. Highlight the actual purchase price on the HUD or on the settlement statement, because the title company is going to split these out. You got this lead from a wholesaler. They got the contract with the seller for $70,000. Let's use a different number. They got it under contract for $80,000, but they sold it to you for $100,000, right? So there's a $20,000 spread there. In your mind, you paid $100,000 for it, but the contract is for $80,000. You have very easy low-hanging fruit here to get that lowered even beyond what you actually paid for it. Because that $20,000 spread, that's basically an assignment fee. Sometimes they're $5,000, sometimes they're $3,000, sometimes they're $25,000. I've seen very large ones, very small ones. If the numbers work, the numbers work. But the point is this: don't let the county know about the assignment fee. Highlight that purchase price, $80,000, and go in with that. And that $20,000 difference saves you what, another $250 or $500 in taxes. Now, you may want to bring some pictures to show the condition so they understand why it was discounted. And you may even want to bring your contractor bids to show that this is the, look at all the work we're having to do to turn this thing around, right? So it's a very easy way to get that value reduced massively when you've bought it. If you bought it last year and didn't protest on this basis last year, you can probably do it this year. I've waited sometimes. There are various reasons why you might wait and use that HUD in year two. Typically they'll let you do that. You may have to fight with them a little bit. And then that's going to feed into a conversation we're going to have about the circuit breaker, that other option you may choose to protest based on whatever they did with your value. Now, that's if you just bought the house. What do you do if you're protesting an existing property, right? We're a couple years into our hold, and they met us. They said, yeah, $85,500, we'll set you there. And in fact, they left it at that value for year two. You celebrated, didn't go up again. And then all of a sudden, it increases. Well, here's where you want to get to the county evidence, get their valuation, both in terms of market value and equity, and poke holes in it. Build your story as to why they are wrong. How did they determine your value? Right? We talked a minute ago about how an appraiser makes adjustments. Well, which of those adjustments did they use or did they not use? Did they account for the fact that yours backs to gnarly, you know, commercial property, or did they not? They miss this stuff sometimes. A lot of these counties are using an algorithm. It's an automated process. This stuff may not be taken into account. And sometimes they're just wrong. They're just wrong in their data or in their approach. For example, I had a buddy that he had a duplex and the county was using nicely finished townhomes as comps, but these are two different animals. You have to dissuade them from those comps. Another example, a friend of mine bought a house that did not have a pool, but it had a pool on the county records. It had been filled in years ago. Somebody had been paying way too much before he bought it and figured this out. Wrong square footage, like we mentioned, to the high side, right? If they think your value, your square footage is higher, well, maybe get it lowered. Now, will this impact you later on when you have a sale? It shouldn't, because an appraiser is going to go out and measure that anyhow. If it's valued on the low side, if they think you have a lower square footage, leave it be. Don't touch it. But ultimately, you have to get their evidence to see what they used and tear it apart and then bring your own. They don't go into your house. If there's deferred maintenance, do they know that? Absolutely, they don't know that. So this is where you go around to if we're talking about your personal house or any of your rental property, go and get pictures. If you're not present, have your resident send pictures or send in your handyman or a trusted contractor to get that evidence for you. And while that contractor's there, have them write up a scope of work to do whatever repairs are needed. I have a house that needs a new roof, ultimately. So I'll have a contractor give me the bid, a retail bid to replace the roof. I will use that as part of my evidence. And then the story becomes, well, what are you telling them about that property? Well, the condition, simply put, is not ideal. And it is a rental. And that resident, oh my gosh, they are just not taking care of the property. That house that you have as one of your sold comps was dressed to the nines and they had granite countertop. Mine has formica. And I can see that they fixed the foundation. Mine is down in this corner. Here's my bid. Oh, and look at, they've got the latest paint. Mine was fixed up 5, 6, 7 years ago. It's just simply dated. That is not a good comp. Here's the comp you should use. And you can get to sales comps either by tapping into MLS data yourself. If you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, you can use Quest. That's a tool that I've used in the past. Lots of members do. If you don't have access to Quest or some similar program, reach out to a realtor. They're typically happy to run sold comps for you. Okay. For free, typically this time of year, marketing for those guys. But you got to get to the comps. The comps they used, you want to know what those look like, and the comps you want them to use, because those are more apples to apples and support the story that you are bringing. That's if you're fighting, if you're arguing on market value. Now for equity comps or equal value, that's your valuation on the tax rolls compared to other properties as they are valued on the tax rolls. It's a similar approach, but you're not going to be able to find pictures. You're not going to be able to get to that level of data typically, unless it is maybe a rental house and it was listed for lease recently. Perhaps you can see the pictures there, but I would tell you, and this is some advanced stuff here, you can really get into some data driven analysis. And I checked both Tarrant and Dallas to confirm that these are still available. You can download what are called CSV files. It's just a big text file with comma delimiters. You can download that. You can open it in Excel, convert the text to columns, and go into a crazy pivot table analysis and really just dive into the data. A lot of information there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, again, reach out to me. But this is typically what I do when I want to argue the values they have set for me based on other properties on the tax rolls. I'll look for the absentee owner properties and dive into those. Commonly, they're comparing my house to homeowners, right, owner occupants that are maintaining the house super well. Yeah, but mine doesn't look like that. My story again is that my renter's not been taking care of it. They probably are doing just fine, by the way. But that's going to be my story, right? This is very, very, I typically have success with this when I approach this with regards to the equity comps, right? This is not something you would use on market value, on the market comps. So desirability, depreciation, condition, it's called something like that in all of the counties. And again, good way to handle this. Now, I want to go to something else. And I mentioned this a minute ago. You can protest market value. We talked about that. You can protest unequal value. You can protest both, and you should protest both. Now, when we talked last week, I was looking at my Dallas County notice, and there's something missing here. I didn't even realize this till this morning when I was preparing. When I look at, I don't know, is this Polk County, Van Zandt, I don't know, one of the other counties, there's an option on here that says circuit breaker limitation on appraised value for all other real property was denied, modified, or canceled. What's a circuit breaker? It doesn't even appear on the Dallas notice. There is a spot for other. So if they did not follow the Texas code, we'll talk about what I mean here in a minute, then I think I might just write that in, circuit breaker denied, and check the other box and bring that as well. This, if you've been holding on to this property for a while, this may not come into play, but I have talked with members where they did a big rehab and they bought it for $85,500. And the county didn't recognize that fact, and they took it up significantly in the following year. And what the 20% circuit breaker is in a couple years ago, the Texas legislature basically passed a law that said, hey, you cannot take the value of a non-homestead property up more than 20% per year. So if you own your house, your personal house in Texas, you know you have a 10% cap. They cannot take the assessed or appraised value up more than 10% per year. And let me differentiate here, because market value is different than assessed or appraised value. On my personal house, my market value is way above my assessed value, but my taxes are determined based on my assessed value. Some of them call that appraised value. It's that assessed or appraised value for a homestead that cannot go up more than 10%. In years past, for my rentals, those could go up 100%. And that happens sometimes, which is why we fight. But the new legislation said, no, no, no. For houses, for property, real property valued at $5 million or less, there's a 20% cap. They call that the circuit breaker. And I found actually a very good summary of this on, this was the Bosque, B-O-S-Q-U-E, Bosque County Appraisal District site. It says, circuit breaker limitations on non-resident homestead property value increases. And it says that that increase is not to exceed the lesser of either the property's market value, i.e. what I just paid for it, or in years subsequent, the sum of 20% of the property's appraised value from the prior year plus the property's appraised value of the prior year. So if it was at 100K last year, right, there it shouldn't go up more than 120. And this is the one that may catch you off guard if you did some repairs, if you rehabbed a house. The third component that they're adding here is the market value of all new improvements to the property. Aha. Well, what do we do as members at Lifestyles Unlimited? We go out and we find distressed houses that may need 50, 60, 100K in rehab sometimes. If the county takes you up by that 50, 60, 100K, I believe they're acting improperly. They define here a new improvement as an improvement to real property made after the most recent appraisal, but it says it does not include repairs to or ordinary maintenance of an existing structure. The grounds are another property feature. To me, I read that as if you've gone in and repaired and rehabbed the cosmetic stuff, you've lifted the foundation, you put a new roof on, that is existing structure. That is not new construction. That is not a new improvement. So, if you find that that county has taken your appraised value up more than 20%, I think your argument is right here. You say, no, 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 we have that 20% circuit breaker. This is not new. And here you may need to bring in pictures again, and you may need to bring in your scope of work. But if you do have a house that you rehabbed, let's say a year and a half ago, and now they're trying to take that up greater than 20% on the appraised value, market value may go up massively more, right? But the appraised value, what the tax rate or what the taxes are based off, if that's gone up greater than 20%, I think your argument is here. This was not new construction, right? They're aware that you bought this for a discount and you fixed it up. If you did it right, you were pulling permits. So they may see that you got a permit for your foundation repair and a permit for your roof and a permit for your new fence, right? The county can see that this stuff flows through to them. But that is not new construction. You didn't add square footage. You didn't pop the top off the roof and add a second story. That's not what we do as members at Lifestyles Unlimited. If you did add an addition, okay, that will be subject. That is new construction. But if you're repairing what was on hand, and they took it up greater than 20%, they are ignoring or modifying or whatever that checkbox said, the 20% circuit breaker. Okay. So take a look closely. Market value can go up as much as they want, but it's the assessed or appraised value that is capped at 20%. So a lot of information here. A lot of information. Ultimately, I want to build my story, get my evidence, tell them why their data is wrong and why mine is right. Keep in mind that desirability, depreciation, we just heard. This is an opinion. It's a subjective opinion. And I will absolutely bring that up in front of the appraisal review board if it gets to that point. Certainly when I'm in my informal hearing. A couple of general tips for you, by the way. When you go in, whether it's informal or formal, ask for what you want. What is that value you're looking for? And maybe give them a range, right? Give them a range where your value's at the top. Know what you want, right? What value figure will get you to your target cash flow? If they took you up a ton here, I need to get it back down to here in order to cash flow whatever your goal is, right? Be realistic, though, right? Markets, they've been creeping up a little bit, even though we've seen a little bit of slowdown in activity. Ask for the desirability or the condition or the depreciation, whatever your county calls it. Ask for the figure you want. It's fair. It is absolutely not excellent, Dallas County, right? Know what other rental property in your area have for these data points. And then again, have the evidence to support your story. Bring your data, bring your pictures, bring your contractor estimates, but don't bring the emotion. If you go into the appraisal review board, it's just the facts. Don't get mad at those guys. They're here to help you. And yeah, best of luck to you. And if you don't have time for all this, hire it out. There are lots of companies that will do that for you. Last call, text the keyword INVEST to 88007, and I hope to see you at the Wealth and Passive Income Expo. Remember, it's not the money, it's a lifestyle. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.